Okay, let's move on to 257, please.
Authorize the city attorney to take legal action against Monsanto Company and its successor entities to recover public funds that have been and will be expended by the city as a result of the manufacture and distribution of polychlorinated biphenols.
Good morning, City Attorney Reeve.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, Tracy Reeve, Portland City Attorney. And with me is John Fisk of Gomez Trial Attorneys in San Diego. I'm here to ask you to authorize us to file a legal action against the Monsanto Company and its successor entities, Farmacia and Solucia, to recover amounts.
Beg your pardon.
To recover amounts that the city has expended and will continue to expend to address PCB contamination in water bodies within the city of Portland, including the Willamette River and the Columbia Slough. We have reviewed substantial documentary evidence, which we believe demonstrates that Monsanto continued to produce and sell PCBs after it was apparent that they presented a significant environmental danger and could not be contained, and that Monsanto did so with a profit motive. Mr. Fisk is going to show you just a few of those documents this morning. Six other West Coast cities to date have filed legal actions against Monsanto. We've been monitoring this for some time, and we believe that if the city is going to file such an action, now is the appropriate time to do so. The other six cities have filed in a variety of federal district courts, and as Mr. Fisk is going to describe in a bit more detail, there's currently a motion pending before the Judicial Panel on Multi-District Litigation to consolidate those actions in one federal district court. And that motion is going to be heard in Santa Barbara on March 31st. We believe that if the City of Portland is going to participate in litigation against the Monsanto Company, it would be appropriate to do so at this time when that litigation is really getting up and running. One other thing that I wanted to mention is that the question has come up about whether the timing of this is being driven by the status of the Portland Harbor Superfund site. As you all know, the preliminary plan for the Portland Harbor is scheduled to be released by EPA the first week of April. And really, the connection in timing is quite fortuitous, as I say. We've been monitoring these potential legal theories and potential claims against Monsanto for some time, and really our request that we initiate legal action at this point in time, if we're going to do so, is driven more by the status of those cases and by the pending motion for consolidation before the joint panel than it is by the Portland Harbor Superfund. Monsanto will not be brought into the Portland Harbor as a potentially responsible party. These are some unique legal theories, and it's not within CERCLA liability. That's not to say that there's no relationship, because, of course, the city has expended significant amounts investigating PCBs, both within and without the Superfund site, and those funds would be among those for which we would seek to recover. So there is some relationship, and it will inure to the benefit of our participation in the Superfund and the amounts that the public has already expended to deal with PCBs. But we are not requesting legal action at this time because of the status of the Superfund action. So with that, I'm going to introduce Mr. Fisk and turn it over to him. And I'll just say that should the council elect to pass this resolution and authorize us to file, we have already had significant meetings with Gomez trial attorneys and have communicated with the other cities that are initiating litigation. And our intention would be to have the city be represented both by the Portland City Attorney's Office and by the same outside counsel, which is Gomez trial attorneys and Barron and Budd out of Texas. Gomez trial attorneys are in San Diego, California, that are jointly representing the other six cities.
Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is John Fisk. I am an attorney from Gomez Trial Attorneys. I'm a civil litigator and a trial attorney. And currently, my firm and the law firm of Barron and Budd represent six other cities, which include Seattle, Spokane, Oakland, Berkeley, San Diego, and San Jose. And we, on behalf of those cities, have filed 6 individual lawsuits in federal court against Monsanto Company for PCB contamination. And PCBs are polychlorinated biphenyls. They are chemicals that are toxic. They cannot be contained to their original application, and they last decades, if not centuries. And in each of those situations, while each city has its own unique water body, in each of those situations, the story of the fate and transport of the chemical is the same. And so what has occurred is that up and down the West Coast and, frankly, all over the country, municipalities are being held responsible to pay for chemicals that Monsanto knew were a global contaminant and environmental problem. Currently, the procedural posture of the case is that we have filed what's called a petition for transfer under 1407. This requests of the federal court system, the Judicial Panel on Multidistrict Litigation, a coordination of all of the cases in front of one federal judge. It does not mean that the cases are combined into one case, but rather that they are all coordinated in front of one judge to save time and money and to be more efficient in the litigation of the case because it coordinates all pre-trial discovery and legal motions.
So as Tracy explained that to me, this is not a class action lawsuit, but by putting all the cases before one judge, there's an efficiency result that occurs to all the parties.
That's exactly right. So your case would be originally filed, if it were pre-MDL, it would be originally filed in the district that it is located, so it would, in Oregon. If it were filed after the MDL, there may or may not be a choice to file it directly into the MDL. However, it's a separate case that the city of Portland has that could be settled before, during, or after, or tried before, during, or after any of the other cities, just depending on how the procedure moves forward.
Tracy, could you explain in plain English to us why the impact statement says there's minor out-of-pocket expenses but no other exposure to the city if we move forward?
Yes. While we have not yet, obviously, and would not do so prior to council authorizing us to initiate legal action, retained outside counsel, we have had discussions with Gomez trial attorneys and Barron and Bed on what the terms of the representation would be should council authorize us to move forward. We would propose retaining those firms, as have the other cities, on a contingency fee basis, where any attorney's fees and out-of-pocket costs that would be paid out of the recovery, if any, from Monsanto in the event the city were not successful in recovering any amounts either at trial or in settlement. We would not owe costs or fees.
Pretty good deal.
But then what would be the out-of-cost expenses?
The out-of-cost expenses would be treated the same way. They'd be payable out of the fees. There would be some minor costs to our office, and we believe that we could cover those in our regular budget and not any additional.
But that was Commissioner Fish's question, was about the impact statement, said there might be some other out-of-city expenses. But
no, I understood, Commissioner Fritz, that the office will be managing the relationship with the law firm, so there might be incidental costs they incur. And they're just flagging that. So,
but even if we don't recover anything, we don't have to pay the investigation costs or
correct.
Any other fees.
Their filing fees and document production and that kind of stuff.
Correct.
Thank you.
So from the taxpayer point of view, we're saying that there's very little downside and there's a huge upside if this law firm is successful, because we'll recover a big chunk of that recovery will come to the city.
Exactly.
And we don't have time today to go through the legal theory of this case, but I understand it's generally described as a novel legal theory. So we may be making law here. Is that true, Mr. Gomez?
I'm Mr. Fisk, and I work for Mr. Gomez.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, that's fine. I just don't want to impersonate him in public, at least. So I wouldn't describe it as novel. What this is, every state law is different, and even though we're suing in federal court, you sue under the state law that you are located in. And we are suing essentially on claims of product liability, of public nuisance, and of negligence. And there have been many other cases in which a product manufacturer is held responsible for a product that contaminates water.
But yeah. The public knows this family of claims as polluter pays. There is a polluter, there is some damage to the water stream in a community, and we're trying to hold that polluter liable for the damage.
Yeah, essentially, a lot of folks think of environmental law as CERCLA litigation, which is involved in releasor, transporter, arranger-type liability. Here, what we do is we look to the product manufacturer who knew that the product was going to cause an environmental contamination problem in the first place, and therefore our theory is that it's negligent and creates a public nuisance to release that product into the stream of commerce anyway, knowing that there is no way you can contain that product to its original application, which is the nature of many chemical products. But this one is very specific to Monsanto.
You had some slides of the particular documents that you wanted to
touch on. I'm not sure how this works.
It's working.
So PCB chemicals are very specific in the sense that they cannot be contained to their original application, and they're toxic, and they last forever. In 1969, Monsanto started to react internally, as far as we know, to the sort of growing incrimination of PCBs in the public. And here they identify that PCBs can be found in fish, oysters, shrimp, and birds, and that they have basically contaminated many parts of the globe, including Western wildlife, and they identify here that it may be a global contaminant. This is in the same document that identifies that Aerochlor, which is the trade name or the brand name of PCBs, that it was the use of the Aerochlor was halted. But, however, the fate and transport of the PCB is that the PCB was essentially lodged in the sediment, and therefore it allowed the PCB to escape from the sediment over a long period of time. And so it says we can expect the water contamination to continue for a lengthy period by leaching from the contaminated mud. Here you see in the 60s that Monsanto knew sort of the fate and transport of how these chemicals would continue to contaminate, which is what's occurring right now all across water bodies. Here's another internal document from Monsanto with regards to an internal committee that was formed to address PCBs. And I'll jump down to the second paragraph here where it says, the objective of the committee, the internal committee within Monsanto, was to recommend action that will, first, protect continued sales and profits of Aerochlors, two, permit continued development of new uses and sales, and three, protect the image of the organic division and the corporation as members of the community. So here you can see that even despite knowledge that this could become a global contaminant or already was becoming a global contaminant, Monsanto decided to expand their sales and protect their profits. Again, and the last slide here is in the same document, they go on to say that they believe that there is little probability that any action can be taken will prevent the growing incrimination of specific Aerochlors 1254 and 1260, which are still being found today in their form, as nearly global environmental contaminants leading to contamination of human food, particularly fish, killing of submarine species shrimp, and the possible extinction of several fish-eating birds. Secondly, the committee believes that there is no practical course of action that can so effectively police the uses of these products as to prevent environmental contamination. There are, however, a number of actions which must be undertaken to prolong the manufacture, sale, and use of these particular Aerochlors, as well as to protect the continued use of other members of the Aerochlor series. So here you can see where some corporate decisions are made that even though they know that this is contaminating fish and water and wildlife, that they are choosing profits over environmental health. And the shocking piece about this is that this is exactly the issue that cities all across the West Coast are dealing with, which is PCBs and Aerochlors are found in consumable fish tissue, creating a public health hazard in addition to an ecological problem.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Have any of the sovereign nation Indian tribes either joined the suit or have you contacted them?
Well, I cannot discuss my private confidential communications with potential clients, but I am unaware of any Indian tribes or sovereign nations filing lawsuits.
That's something that I know the Commissioner Fish is, and Mayor Hales are working really closely with the sovereign tribes with our discussions on the harbor, so I would imagine that they would be very interested.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate the presentation. Let's see if there's anyone that wants to speak on this item.
We have three people signed up. Please come on up. Joe Walsh, Charles Johnson, and Crystal Alinsky.
Okay. Come on up, please.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We take no money from the city, or the state, or the federal government. And it would be really nice when people come up to testify that they would say that. So we're going to say it every time we testify. This may be the first and last time that the city attorney and Individuals for Justice are on the same page. We like this. In a previous life, when I was working for a living at Long Beach Naval Shipyard, we had a tremendous problem 20 years ago with PCBs in our transformers. They were leaking. This is really bad stuff. And that's what I want your listeners to hear. This is asbestos plus. This is bad stuff. And we really like the idea that the city would join this. And also we like the statement by Commissioner Fritz that maybe we could reach out to the Indian tribes and get them involved, because they should be. They have streams, they have fish. So they should be involved in this. Now, we do have one question. It's in the last page of the impact statement that basically says there was no public input into this decision because of attorney-client communications. Well, you know, you can get around that really easy. You don't have to give out information. You could take in information. You could ask some people, what do they think about this case? Is it possible that we could win this case? And I don't know. It sounds good, and I think you should do it. But it seems to me you could have reached out. The city attorney could have reached out to other people and got their opinion of the case. So we would ask that in the future, even though you have an attorney-client relationship, that you don't have to give out information, you just take in the opinions. So you're not going to violate anything. So we thought this was a little bit shabby on that.
Okay, thank you. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And obviously, I support every effort by the city to recover public funds that have been expended to cover up the dirty work of private polluters who have massive profits and stockholders and such as that. As a matter of fact, I would say that really the way this is styled is a little bit too modest. I think the only attorney sitting up there right now is Commissioner Fish, but in many situations where I see Steve Novick has dashed out. There are things in some conduct in tort actions where people trigger triple damages. When a party has been egregious or deceitful, sometimes the law allows punitive and remediative things beyond the actual cost. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to be here for the entire presentation, but I hope that not only through the city attorney's office, which, as Mr. Walsh mentioned, is not an agency. I always agree with how their 40 people earn their $100,000+ a year. I would encourage the city to be open to any communication from outside tort litigation firms that want to work with city documents and actually expand the scope of a financial probably be a settlement with Monsanto and their insurance companies. But if it has to go to a jury trial, amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish and Mayor Charlie Holy Hells. I guess you're not going to call the police on me today since there are no children in the room. Okay, well, that's good. That's safe. My name is Crystal Elinsky, and I know that money is not an issue since Monsanto spent the most in Oregon history on a campaign to stop the GMO labeling voter initiative. So I don't see any reason why this can't go forward as far as the city being able to recover its fees for being in a legal involvement legally. It seems like, I wonder why this is suddenly an issue since a lot of money is wasted on frivolous lawsuits that the city has or appeals or motions. And again, they seem to hire an awful lot of attorneys. So I say go for it. My question is, why is it just recovering the expenses that the city, the taxpayers, have paid to work on this all this time? Why aren't we recovering, like Charles said, why aren't we fining them? Why aren't we getting, why aren't we actually suing them for breaking multiple laws that they were very aware of and taking this a step in any direction? It seems like a little slow. But if we do follow with other investigations and other trials going on, I guess we can continue to have these conversations and maybe bring them to a point where we don't want them in our state anymore. We don't want any leaked GMO wheat. We don't want Randy Leonard's GMO corn for ethanol grown and in the East. I mean, why can't we get involved with environmental law more as the major municipality of this city where we care about our water systems and we care about the rest of our state, our region? And 1 month ago, Jeju Island was finally dug up for the huge Navy site that I had told you about 2 years ago. Commissioner Fish told me he never read it. He never followed through on it. But I think as a city, we should come forth and be in solidarity with other municipalities that are saying no to the extraction of our resources, no to being involved in these, for war. And also where I have lived in Jeju, and I lived in right off the Tonto Apache Reservation in Arizona. And why can't we say that we want to stand up as a city and make a resolution to not allow Tinto Rio to come in and mine our lands? Why don't we do this more often? Why don't we pursue environmental law if we've got all of these paid, very well paid?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lawyers, thanks.
Okay, thank you all. Anyone else would like to speak on this? Any council questions or discussion? If not, then
Mayor, just a vote, comment. My understanding is that in authorizing this lawsuit, we will be seeking to recover the full extent of damages that the law allows.
Right.
And if that goes beyond compensatory damages to things like punitive damages and other damages, I'm told we have some great confidence in this law firm, and they will seek every possible legal claim and theory of recovery.
Yes, I'm assuming that too. Good. Thank you. Okay, let's take a vote, please.
Fritz?
Sometimes people talk about activist judges as if that's a bad thing. We now have an activist city attorney, and I'm very proud of this step that we're taking, and maybe we will do more of these, and I very much appreciate it. I'm so proud to vote yes for this. I also recognize there's a lot of people in our community who care about this, and think back to the discussions we had on fossil fuels and on other potentially contaminating things in our community. This is a part of who we are as Portland, and I believe that there are many others who support this. I do share the concern about community outreach, but that's not the city attorney's job. That's our job, and that we could have done more of that. But it just seems such a good thing to do that I'm glad we're doing it right now. Aye.
Trish?
Well, I think that today's a good day for those of us who care about justice. This morning, the president nominated, imagine this, he nominated someone to serve on the United States Supreme Court. And we shall see. And it is followed by a hearing on a resolution to hold Monsanto accountable for the harm they've caused our community. And I'm very pleased this morning to support this resolution. PCBs are toxins that cause harm to fish and to humans and to our river. And collectively, we believe in the notion of holding people accountable for their bad behavior. And as the lawyer noted earlier, there are different theories of how you can hold someone accountable. Through Superfund, we're hoping to hold people accountable through a kind of polluter pays theory. This is a different legal theory, a creative legal theory, but one that I think we should join robustly. And it's also a good deal for taxpayers. The way that the city attorney has structured this deal ensures that we have very little exposure throughout the lawsuit in terms of costs, but we have the potential to have a significant recovery should we prevail in this lawsuit. Having worked on Superfund now for a couple years with the mayor and Commissioner Fritz and my colleagues, I have a deeper understanding of how much damage has been done to our river by people that did not always have the public interest in mind. I'm very proud that this council is taking this step, and I want to join with Commissioner Fritz in lauding the city attorney for bringing this to us. And the other point, and Mayor, I want to thank you as well, and the other point I think we should note is that one thing we have heard loud and clear from the community, and so I think, in fact, we could amend that statement at the end of this resolution. One thing we've heard consistently is the community doesn't want us to wait any longer for Superfund to work its way to an end game. And Superfund has been in the works for a very long time, and it's possible it will continue for a very long time. Portland doesn't have to wait until Superfund is concluded. Portland can take an action now to protect public health and safety. And I applaud us for doing so. Thank you, Tracy, and your team. Thank you, Mayor. I'm proud to vote aye.
Milvick?
I, too, am proud to have an activist city attorney. And, Tracy, thank you very much for this and all of the good work your team does. I also would like to take this opportunity to say, thank goodness there are trial lawyers in America willing to work on contingency, taking the risk that they might lose and enabling people and governments to be part of a lawsuit without coming up with a bunch of money up front. So, and to get back Commissioner Fish's point about the Supreme Court, I hope that we will get a Supreme Court justice that overturns the decisions that have allowed big corporations to impose arbitration clauses on people that prevent them from joining in class action suits, just as an aside. Aye.
Tails.
Well, I'm very proud of this as well, and I think it says a lot about who we are as a city. We're joining this effort not just to pile on, and certainly not because we're anti-business. We're joining this effort because this is very consistent with who we are as Portlanders, and because we know in this city that environmental stewardship and economic success are not in conflict. You know, we just learned that our unemployment rate has dropped down under 5% in this city. The city's booming economically. It's booming in large part because we live our values and people want to live in places that exercise good environmental stewardship and they want to build their businesses there. So that's outrageous at another level that we're having to deal with a business in this case that really saw environmental stewardship as a nuisance or an unwilling cost, that the cost they were unwilling to pay. But we know that actually that the contrary is true. We can have a clean, green economy, and we're doing that here. We also believe that businesses ought to be held responsible for their pollution. In fact, as you may have heard, Mr. Fisk, we're dealing with an air toxins problem in Portland at the moment where a couple of local businesses were emitting toxic compounds, and we need to be serious about addressing that problem and cleaning up the after effects of that pollution as well. And speaking of cleaning up the after effects of pollution, the other reason why I'm glad we're participating in this and why there is justice and injustice at work here is that the people of the city of Portland have spent over $1 billion to stop polluting the river with raw sewage. We cleaned up that problem that our sewer system created for decades in our river. So the citizens of Portland, many of whom have a lot less money to work with than Monsanto, dug deep in order to pay for cleaning up our mess, and other businesses should be held to that standard. Finally, this is one more example lately where cities are really taking the lead on environmental issues, whether it's climate change or energy conservation or transportation or pollution control. We wish that the federal government were a more aggressive regulator. We wish there was money in the Superfund, not just a mandate. And we need our state to step up on environmental stewardship issues as well. But it falls more and more often to cities to take the leadership in this, and that's why the leadership of our city attorney is very much appreciated. Good luck. Godspeed. Aye. Thank you.